Well, I have to tell you that this is somewhat of a difficult Sunday for us to have our first Sunday of Lent. It's probably the worst Ash Wednesday that I can remember. As many of you or all of you know by this point, the tragedy of Parkland High School. The young man who went in and shot 17 students and faculty members dead. Not a good way, not a fun way for us to walk into this season. But I think it's an important thing for us to talk about today. Because we need to know what a story like that, what a tragedy like that means in the context of this season of Lent. Why it is things like that happen and what it is that Jesus intends to do about them. You see, on the one hand, it's an extremely confusing and horrific event. Not exactly that easy to understand. Why would anybody go about and do something so horrible like that? On the other hand, I frankly think it makes somewhat sense, considering where we are in our culture, in our world today. You guys have heard me preach before about what I think to be the state of Western culture, which not only myself, but also the social statistics would hold up to be true, that we're pretty much more pagan than ever, less people going to church, children growing up, not even knowing the name of Jesus. What amounts to just hardcore impurity that you see all over the news, the radio, your TV shows, your movies, your magazines, everything. We're surrounded by an enormous amount of evil, and we are less churched as a country than we've ever been in our history. And then people wonder why bad things happen. But I think it's very clear why bad things happen. Bad things happen because people forget about the one who has good news, the one who comes to heal, the one who has beautiful, holy things to bring into our lives. You see, church is like the one refuge left for us if we want to know what it is that brings peace and happiness and holiness to human existence. Because we will not find that anywhere else. Certainly not going to find it in what our culture feeds us. And so we come about and we ask these questions. There's always the aftermath, like, well, why did something like this happen? And what should be done now? And the debate always rages on. Well, you know, if we just had better gun control, none of this stuff would happen. Or maybe if we just put metal detectors, better security in high schools, this stuff would be prevented. We talk about, well, maybe what we need is just better counseling. And those are all important discussions to have. But frankly, I don't really think that they get to the root of the issue at all. Because the root of the issue is not these external factors. The root of the issue is the human heart. If any of us ever want to know why evil happens, why does evil happen? It's because hearts are broken. That's why evil happens. Evil happened in this young man's life because his heart was broken. Many of you probably already have heard through the news a little bit of the story of the shooter, Nicholas Cruz, 19 years old. He was adopted. I don't know if he ever knew his real parents. His adopted father passed away when he was young. His adopted mother passed away last November. He kind of grew up as an outsider, being bullied at school, not having many friends. He was expelled from his own high school, never graduated. Man was broken. You see, because what he did on Wednesday, so horrific as it was simply the culmination of a tragedy that had already happened. You see, this young man had already been through an enormous amount of suffering and pain in his life that, frankly, he didn't ask for either. And that's not to justify anything of what happened. It was horrible. But you and I have to understand why this is a result of human brokenness. This isn't a result of the fact that we have failed in not enough or too much gun control, not enough or too much psychological counseling, not enough or too much security in our schools. This tragedy would never have happened if that young man knew that he was loved by God in his heart. If he was convinced that the wounds that he had received in his life could be healed by the one who came to save us. And if he knew that, none of this would have happened. It would never have. But he never got that message. And so many people never get that message. And when people don't get that message, bad stuff happens. It's hard for us to watch. It discourages me, makes me sad. Probably many of us or all of us are walking into church today with a little bit heavier of a heart. Because you and I know that down in Parkland, north of Miami, Florida, there's a community of suffering people. 17 people who didn't ask to die that day. Families, friends, brothers, sisters, cousins, grandparents. The whole community now gets to wield that weight because a human heart was broken. That's how serious the brokenness of the human heart is. It's no joke. And that's why this season of Lent puts into perfect context a tragedy like that. Because Lent isn't just about us taking 40 days every year to wear purple at church and to simply say, all right, for the next 7 weeks, I'm going to give up meat on Fridays. Or I might fast from a food that I like. And if that's all Lent is for us, we've just missed the whole point. Because Lent is meant for you and I to come into real contact with the fact that our hearts are at the root of every issue. Because evil comes forth from the human heart. That's where it comes. Because the human heart is betrayed by the evil one, by Satan. It's betrayed by the sensibilities of his demons that rule all of the unseen, invisible influences of the world. And our hearts buy into that stuff. And then we make vows to ourselves. And we make promises to ourselves about how it is that we're going to fix our brokenness. Until eventually we get to the extreme point where we think, what will make me feel better is if I take a gun and start shooting people. That will make me feel better. That will take care of the brokenness in my heart. And it doesn't. How the human heart responds to tragedy by simply perpetrating more tragedy. And where does it end? There's only one place that it ends. There's only one place that tragedy can end. And it's not even a place, it's a person. Jesus Christ. That's where violence ends. If we want to solve the violence in the world, people need to go to church. People need to believe in the gospel again. That is the solution. Everything else that we can do, those conversations are important, they're necessary, but they just mitigate the problem. They don't solve the problem. Guns do not solve the problem of the human heart. Metal detectors do not solve the problem of the human heart. Jesus solves the problem of the human heart. And where is it that we find the life-saving news of Jesus? Church is the last place where we can come and hear that we're actually loved and known. Because we're not going to hear that anywhere else. If we're lucky in life, we hear that from our family and our friends. And I pray that that's all of us here. Even that goodness from our family and friends is a gift, a blessing that God brings. That God gives us that evidence of his love here in church. He gives that evidence to us also through our relationships. He provides that healing when those relationships are mended. When you and I strike forth and decide, I want to separate myself from things that are unhealthy in my life. There's real beauty for us to be found, for us to find here. Even when we wake up on a Sunday morning to sunshine, I felt so good this morning. I don't know if you felt good about the sunshine. Made me happy. I needed it today. Even that small reminder that God says, I'm here, I love you. And it doesn't matter how bad things will ever get, because Jesus Christ is the only one who can ever make that better. He's the only one that can ever answer our pleas, our cries for help, so that tragedies don't continue to happen. And this is what's really important about this imagery of the desert, where the gospel says the Spirit took Jesus there. And what did Jesus encounter in the desert? The temptations of Satan and the wild beasts. Those are the details that are in Mark's gospel. Satan and beasts. But for you and for me, this is the real sort of two-sided coin of desert, of the desert experience. That when you and I walk into the depths of our hearts to discover our woundedness, to be healed of our brokenness, we will walk into the desert and we find one of two things there. We will enter that desert in one of two ways. We either enter that desert and we find Satan and the wild beasts that threaten us, or we find Jesus there. And that will cause two very, very different outcomes in our lives. Because desert is a part of life. We will inevitably, if we live long enough, come into those places that overwhelm us, that are dry, that are dark, that seem to be filled with death and decay and lifelessness. And what are we to make of those moments? Where are we to find our answer? What is it that heals that yearning? Do we enter into those places and do we feel overwhelmed by the temptations that Satan brings? Do we feel overwhelmed by the beasts that surround us, that are stronger than us, that are ferocious? Or do you and I walk into that desert and find the one who brings the springs of life-giving water? That's where Jesus is, in the desert. Which means that we don't have to be afraid of our brokenness. We don't have to be afraid of that desert experience. We don't have to be afraid of that darkness. Even in the Psalms, one of my favorite Psalms, one of the most well-known that we have, Psalm 23, the Lord's my shepherd. Where does my shepherd take me? Even through the valley of the shadow of death. Even there he leads me with his crook and his staff so that he can bring me to restful waters and green pastures. Even there in the valley of the shadow of death, he sets the table before me. Even in the sight of my enemies, he does so, to give me peace and comfort. Because God is the answer to the human heart. God is the answer to our brokenness. So this becomes an invitation to you and to me, which is not just a ritual that we do every year. This is meant to be a true marker, a true stake that we put in our hearts to say, how do I journey anew? Where does Jesus ask me to walk into my desert? Where does Jesus want to reveal to me what needs healing? And will I take that life-giving drink of water from him and from his heart? It's very concrete, the experience of Lent. Why? Because the experience of human suffering is very concrete. And it's all too real to us. So let's take sincere encouragement. We are not meant to be overcome. We're never meant to be overcome by what binds us. We're never meant to be overcome by what breaks us. We're never meant to be overcome by what wounds us. We are meant to bring those things to the Lord, to the only one who is the good news. So that when we come into that desert, we don't go to the place of death, we go to the person who brings life and healing. And as our hearts are healed, the whole world is healed. When every human heart is healed, evil will cease. But it is a matter of the heart. And so we bring our hearts to Jesus now.